So we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, verse number 29, translation. Of the many hooded Nagas, I am Ananta. And among the aquatics, I am the demigod Varun. Of departed ancestors, I am Aryama. And among the dispensers of law, I am Yam, the Lord of Death. Hare Krishna. So in the last verse, Krishna says, among Sarpa, I am Vasuki. Among serpents, I am Vasuki. And in this verse, he says, among Nagas, among many hooded Nagas, I am Anant. So the last verse refers to those serpents or snakes who have only one hood. So among them, Vasuki represents Krishna. And in this verse, the Sarpas, the Nagas, are those who have more than one hood. 2, 3, 5, 10, 100, thousands. And among all these, Anant Shesh is considered greatest. So he represents Krishna. Lord Anant, he serves Krishna in all possible ways. He expands into Krishna's throne, his slippers, even the mridanga which we play, even the pillars of the temple, the floor of the temple, his expansion of Lord Anant. Even the sacred thread which Krishna wears is expansion of Lord Anant. So Lord Anant is expansion of Sankarshan, who is expansion of Lord Balram. And Lord Balram is the topmost servant of Krishna. He serves Krishna in all the five rasas, in all the five loving relationships. So Lord Ananta, he becomes the bed, the Shesha, he becomes the bed of Mahavishnu, the bed of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, bed of Shirodakshayi Vishnu, and he also supports the whole universe. The whole universe is supported on the head of Anant Shesh, but it doesn't even feel the weight. It is like a small mustard seed kept on your head. You will not even know its presence. In the same way, among his thousands of hoods, this whole universe is placed as one hood, on one hood. So he sustains the universe, he sustains the planets. So within the universe, the expansion of Ananta, he resides in his own lok, Shesha lok, which is below Patal lok, 2,40,000 miles below Patal lok, is Shesha lok, where Lord Ananta resides with thousands of his hoods. Very peacefully he does his service of supporting the planets, taking care of the universe, and finally destroying the universe. The purpose of this creation is to give chance to those living entities who by some miscalculation have come to this material world, to give them a chance in the human form of life to practice bhakti, to practice devotional service, and to go back home, back to God. So among all the species, when we get human form of life, that is very great blessing. Because in this form, we can practice devotional service. We can come in contact with devotees. We can choose to surrender to Krishna. We can choose to follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. We can choose to study scriptures and live life according to scriptures. We can choose not to be animals, but be actually human, in human form of life. So this is a very rare opportunity. So if somebody gets a rare opportunity and he doesn't use it again and again, then that is not nice. Who is outside? Apart from that? What is he doing? So those so many conditioned souls who get human form of life, but they misuse, they engage in sense gratification, engage in fruitive activities. So those people, they don't get liberated. They again have to take birth in the next creation. So Lord Anant, he becomes very angry. Angry on such souls who do not utilize their human form of life. Who do not utilize the opportunity of coming in the material world, using this chance to go back to Krishna. Who do not utilize this creation. Who just engage in animalistic propensities. Lord Anand is angry daily, seeing people misusing their chance. But he tolerates, thinking that they will reform. Kabhi to sudrenge. Tomorrow they may reform. Tomorrow these souls will come in contact with devotees and by their mercy practice devotional service. So he keeps on tolerating, but finally when his anger is high, then he decides to destroy this whole creation. So when the destruction time comes, then from his eyebrows comes the original Rudra, who manifests into 11 and then so many forms of Rudra, Lord Shiva. And they destroy the whole creation. They destroy the whole universe. By the mercy of the Lord, this creation happens. And by His will, this creation is destroyed. This creation and the destruction, this cycle continues permanently. And it's not a big thing for the Lord. Just like a spider, he makes a web. And the same web he can destroy also. For the spider, it's just a small game. Not a big thing. For the spider to make a web in this room from this wall to this wall, it's not a big thing. Overnight job. and then to wind up it also is very easy. But the fly or the insect who gets entangled in this web of spider, for that fly life becomes terrible. Life becomes very difficult. Can't come out and finally dies there. In the same way, this web of material world, creation and destruction, for Krishna is very easy to start the process and to end the process. But we conditioned souls who do not follow his path, we get entangled in this web called samsara or sansara. The Sanskrit word is samsara. The Hindi word is sansar, but both is same, burning fire of material existence. So for Krishna it's a game to start and to end. So Lord Ananta, he is the one who ultimately destroys the whole universe. That is by his mercy, by his will. Meanwhile, when the maintenance is going on, as the maintenance is going on, we should know destruction is also going on. As a day passes by from the creation, we are going towards the end. Day by day, one day, one day, one day. So that means we are going towards the destruction. So each day destruction is also going on. It's a continuous process. So Lord Ananta is responsible for that destruction. But he is not just busy with this destruction. He is very peaceful, very joyful. The devotees who serve Lord Ananta, especially all the Nagas and the inhabitants of the Nagaloka, and the king of the Nagaloka, including Vasuki, they all worship Lord Ananta. They all serve him as their predominating deity. They approach him for devotional service. They worship him. They offer him all the bhoga, arti, paraphernalia. And his very beautiful whitish complexion on one side and blackish on another side, with thousands of hoods and reddish lotus petaled eyes, and the beautiful woman of Nagaloka, the princess of the kings of Nagas, they serve the Lord in conjugal mellow, and the Lord reciprocates with them. Great personalities like Narad Muni, they glorify Lord Ananta. Narad Muni has sung many verses glorifying Lord Ananta. Even in the assembly of Lord Brahma, Narad Muni sings the glories of Lord Ananta. And this Lord Ananta, with his thousands of foods, from the start of creation, which is millions of years, he is glorifying Krishna. He speaks Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said that he is counting the qualities of Krishna from millions of years with his thousands of headboards, thousands of mouths. And he has not even started it. There are so many infinite qualities of Krishna, infinite names of Krishna, infinite incarnations of Krishna. So among Nagas, among many hooded serpents, Krishna says, I am Ananta, who serves the Lord in all possible ways, who supports the entire universe. What we called gravitational force, what Newton called gravitational force is same as Lord Ananta supporting this planetary system. Just by using the word gravitational force, you don't understand that force. Generally, in science, the unknown object is given a name, and the students think because it has given a name, so it has become known. But it is still unknown only what is that force. If somebody tells you, why did the apple fall? One person says, I don't know. Another person says, because of gravitational force. Both are same answer or different answer?
Different.
Same. One says, I don't know. Other gives a name to unknown object. But still it is same. Both of them don't know. Why did the apple fall? Just by giving a name to an unknown object, you don't understand the phenomena. So this whole system, this whole universe, the laws of the universe are created and governed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can't understand how this material nature works. We can't even understand how does our nail grow. It's achintya, inconceivable. Nobody has explained it. Most of the common things which happen in our experience and observation day to day, science has not explained it. The growth of nails, the growth of hairs. How does it happen? That they are living, non-living. So Lord Ananta, supporting whole planetary system, is the source of what scientists called gravitational force. The whole material nature and its laws, which are beyond our understanding, are all made possible by the touch and presence of Lord Vishnu. Even though Lord Brahma creates the entire universe, nothing works in the universe. Only when Lord Vishnu enters into each atom, then everything is set into motion. Then everything works. So that's Vishnu. And that's Krishna. He is the source of all the material and the spiritual worlds. So then Krishna goes on saying that among the aquatics, I am Varun. Out of so many aquatics, Varundev, the predominating deity of water, is considered superior. He is one of the demigods, devtas, very powerful personality. So he represents Krishna. Then among Pitras, I am Aryama. Pitra are those personalities who stay in Pitraloka with a deep desire of welfare of their family where they were previously born, forefathers whom we say. So among all these Pitras, the prominent chief resident is Aryama, who is one of the Adityas, son of Mother Aditi. A soul in mode of goodness. So he represents Krishna. Generally, when somebody's father, grandfather, mother, somebody elderly family member dies, people do this Pitra Puja, Pindadan, Shraddh. This is done to give benefit to the departed soul. the elderly family member who has died is expected to get good next birth. But we don't know. Because of sinful activities, the person may have got ghostly body or may be punished in hellish planets or may be in very suffering condition. So a Shraddh is done, Pitra Puja is done, so that wherever the soul is, ancestor is, will be relieved from that sinful reaction. If the ancestor has ghostly body, then he will get a gross body. If he has a suffering situation, then he will be relieved from it. Because by worshipping Vishnu or by worshipping Aryama as a representative of Vishnu, the benefit of that puja and bhoga, the benefit of that worship is passed over to our ancestor, who wherever he is freed from the sinful reaction. Right? So Shraddh is done to free the person from sinful reaction, who is advertised to be in Swarga. They write Swargiya or Swargavasi. Or if it's Swargiya, then why you need to do Shraddh? Already freed. But they just write. A sinful person doesn't go to Swarga. Goes to hellish planet. Or takes a lower species body. So if Shraddh is done for that person today, then through Hawala channel, wherever the soul is, in whichever country and whichever species, will get some benefit. So if a person's ancestor is some dog in Switzerland and his Shraddh is being done in Nasik, then there the dog, while going on the street, suddenly will get few bread. Why? Because somebody did Shraddh in Nasik, so there he got bread. That is called Hawala channel. If your opulent Shraddh is done in Nasik with ghee and all, so there you get bread plus ghee. Not like that. As proper procedures are followed for the worship of Lord Vishnu, the benefit the person in present life, in whichever body is, that person gets. Because of sinful activities, if the ancestor becomes ghost, then he wanders. Where he wanders? In the same family where he was born. So he happens to give trouble to the family members. So when Shraddh is done and Vishnu worship benefit is given to such ghostly person, then he gets freed from ghostly body and he gets gross body, where he can again perform his karma and fulfill his desires. So this is there. This is not mythology. This is true. But in Krishna consciousness, if we want to do Shraddh for our ancestors, like yearly Grihasthas, householders have to do, so the best way is to invite sadhus, Vaishnavas and feed them prasad or sponsor deities prasad, deities Rajkog, and that plate, or even if we offer prasad to Krishna, then on that day of Shraddh, once a year, the photo of the ancestors, we can offer that prasad or feed cows. Just this much we do. Feed sadhus, feed Krishna, feed cows, do kirtan in the house in their name, so they get benefit. We don't have to go through this karma kanda process. If we do that, then our ancestors will get benefit. So for Grahastha, it is essential to do, especially the elder members of the family, they will insist to do, nothing wrong in doing it. So the process should be followed very simple. We should feed cows, sadhus, Vaishnavas, Krishna, have kirtan, and that way we can give benefit to our ancestors. So one of the chief resident of this Pitra Loka is Aryama. Aryama is so much in superior consciousness that once, in the absence of Yamaraj for 100 years, he was appointed Yamaraj. Yamaraj is Mahajan, Digpal, the god of justice, not an ordinary personality. In fact, in the same verse, Krishna says, among all the forms of enforcers of punishment, I am Yamaraj. Yamaraj does very strict justice, and whoever does sinful activity, he is taken to Yamloka by the Yamdutas, and there, based on the proportionate of sinful activities, Yamaraj sends them to hellish planets. There are thousands of hellish planets categorized into 28. 28 main hellish planets are there. Then there are sub-hellish planets. And Yamaraj is predominant king of all these hellish planets, where various conditioned souls who perform sinful activities are punished. So once there was a rishi called Manduk Muni doing tapasya in the forest outside a kingdom in his kutiya, in his ashram. So some thieves who were running away from the soldiers of the king, they happened to run away from the kingdom and come in the forest. They saw this ashram, Manduk Muni alone doing tapasya, sitting in meditation. So they went and hid in the ashram. Manduk Muni didn't know who has come. He was busy. So when the soldiers came in the forest, they saw the ashram. They started searching the ashram and they saw the thieves inside the ashram. So they arrested the thieves. And they arrested Manduk Muni also, thinking that this all are together, one team, one group. So the thieves and Manduk Muni, they all were arrested together and sent the case to the judge. And the judge gave common punishment to everybody, dapa tin so do, hang all of them. At that time, hanging means a person will have to sit on a lance, a sword kind of thing, a lance, which will go inside his bottom and tear him apart, and he will get killed. Very painful. Why don't you switch off that mobile?
Yes, sir.
So they killed all the thieves. And when they put Manduk Muni on the lance by his siddhi, the lance didn't pierce him. He was sitting on the tip in meditation. And the soldiers were surprised. They immediately went and reported to the king that this is happening. And the king understood some big siddhu mahatma is there. And such big mistake has happened. He came and immediately got Manduk Muni out of that place and touched his feet, made Dandavat Pranam and said, please forgive me. Big mistake has happened by me through my soldiers. They didn't recognize you. You are such a Siddha Mahatma. And the king, Manduk Muni said, look, king, this is not your fault. This is all arranged by Yamraj. He is the one who gives punishment to everybody. I will go and ask him. And Mandukmani straight went to Yamaloka. He met Yamraj. He said, "My dear Yamraj, since childhood I am doing tapasya. I have not done a single sinful activity as far as I know. Why did you arrange such a big punishment for me?" Yamraj said, "Look, my dear Mandukmani, when you were a small child, below 5 years, in a playful mood, you took a sharp straw and put it in the behind an ant and killed the ant. So because of that you got this sinful reaction, you are put in on a lance." Mandukmani said, "This is injustice. I was a small child. I didn't have knowledge. And I happened to commit a sinful activity unknowingly. And you gave me such a big punishment. This is because of my tapasya I was saved. Otherwise it would be so painful to me. Because of this injustice, I curse you to become a Shudra." And that is how Yamraj was cursed to become a Shudra for 100 years. And he came down as Vidura. See, the post of Yamraj is not ordinary. If you punish one innocent person, then that is very, very dangerous. Any leader, any manager who has people as his subordinates, who has to take sides or take decisions or do justice, he has to be very careful. Sometimes we think it is so nice to become temple president or GBC or preacher or guru and or garlands and mahaprasad and nice obeisances and cars. But any small mistake done by a leader or a manager has a heavy punishment. Same mistake done by a servant has a heavy punishment. The soldiers don't get punishment, but Yamraj got punishment. Prabhupada writes this in the purport. In Krishna consciousness, there are temple presidents and GBCs. They should be very careful. If they don't remain pure and lead purely, then they will fall down and again become a Shudra like Yamraj. So Yamraj was cursed and Yamraj became a Shudra, son of Shudrani, as Vidura for 100 years. But now for 100 years the post of Yamraj was vacant. Vacancy. Who will fulfill it? So Lord Brahma selected Aryama. He was found qualified for that post. Aryama is the chief resident of Pitraloka. He is Aditya, he is a son of Mother Aditi, in very high consciousness. So when Yamraj came as Vidura, Aryama was the one who for temporary time was doing the job of Yamraj. For 100 years he was Yamraj. So that's Aryama. So he represents Krishna. He is the best of the Pitra. And then as Krishna says, among the enforcers of punishment, I am Yam. I am Yamraj. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one whole chapter in which Sukadeva Goswami describes all the 28 hellish planets corresponding to various sinful activities. And it's a horror story, it's a horror chapter describing all the hellish planets where people who perform sinful activities are punished by Yamraj. Among all the demigods, Yamraj does most highest overtime. Because most of the people on this planet are sinful. So they all visit Yamraj. They all have to visit Yamraj. And Yamraj has to go through all the records of their karmic activities of their papa and then select a suitable punishment and send them for that punishment. And the Yamdutas, they inflict the misery, the pain, the suffering, the punishment for the reformation of the sinful people. The punishment of Yamraj, sometimes when we read, it sounds cruel, but we should know this is for reformation, so that the living entity reforms, takes the punishment and reforms, and again uses the human form of life for practicing devotional service. But unfortunately, even after going through the punishment, sometimes people don't reform. So Krishna has arranged the real process of reformation is to give knowledge through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna himself comes down to give this knowledge, and he sends his representatives like Narad Muni, like the Acharyas, who come down and give this knowledge. So even if we are not aware of our past sins, but we should be convinced that my present suffering is due to some past sin which I am not aware. So if I don't stop performing sinful activities, I will keep on suffering. Dukkha is because of paap. Paap-phal. Dukkha is paap-phal. So dukkha is because of paap. And paap is because of agyan, ignorance. Because of ignorance, we commit sinful activities. So dukkha is because of ignorance. And the solution is knowledge. So we should hear the scriptures. We should hear from knowledgeable persons so that we know how to conduct our life. What is sin? What is not sin? What is good and what is bad? Our material education, whatever knowledge it gives about sin and not sin, good or bad, is wrong, is not complete. As far as Bhagavad Gita goes, even eating a grain of rice unoffered is sinful activity. And people eat thousands of grains. Spoonful after spoonful of rice people eat. Or wheat, or dal, or jawar, or bajra. This is all sinful activity. If we don't offer to Krishna. I'm not speaking about meat eating. I'm speaking about non-meat eating, vegetarian. It's sinful. So we have to live life according to scriptures. But the point is, those who live life according to scriptures, still they may end up committing sinful activities. Maya is so prabal, so powerful. So we have to atone ourselves. And the best atonement is practicing devotional service. By chanting the holy names of Krishna, by paying obeisances to Lord Vishnu, to the deity of Lord Krishna, by eating prasadam, by watering Tulsi Maharani, by serving sadhus, all our sinful reactions are eradicated. Many times you will see in scriptures multiple quotations where it is said, if you do this, your sins are gone. If you do this, your sins are gone. And one may wonder why so many ways are required to eradicate our sinful activity. Because in spite of our full knowledge, we still do sinful activities day in and day out. And if our sins are not eradicated, then we will have sinful reactions, we will have fruits of those sinful activities, which will be distress, which will be miseries, which will be suffering. And already there is so much distress in life. Such distress pulls us down, makes us commit further sinful activities. It's a vicious cycle. Sin will give you distress, and distress will give you a seed of another sin. And again we will commit sinful activity. Goes on. The only way to come out of this is to practice pure devotional service, is to chant the holy names of Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and practicing bhakti, one can come out of these sinful activities. It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, just as fire burns all the fuel put into it, in the same way pure devotional service burns all the sinful reactions, whether in the seed form or in the mature form. All the sinful reactions are burned by the process of bhakti. We have example of Mrigari. Mrigari committed so many sinful activities by killing animals as entertainment, as profession, as income, as food. He would enjoy killing animals. So he should go to hell. Narad Muni told him, you will go to hell for millions of years. But what happened? Mrigari got liberated. How? All his sinful reactions were burned. How? By chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra under the guidance of pure Narad Muni. So when he obeyed his pure spiritual master and chanted the holy names of Krishna, all his sinful reactions were eradicated. We have example of Prasdhar, who was a Kshatriya prince, who by mistake killed a cow while protecting cows. And his guru Vasishth Muni cursed him to become a Shudra next life. But he got liberated, that curse didn't affect him, because he practiced devotional service. So devotional service is so powerful that can eradicate so many sinful reactions that even if our ticket for hell is reserved, it will get cancelled. That is the power of devotional service. That doesn't mean we do devotional service and also commit sinful activities. That's offense. But unknowingly, unintentionally or knowingly, we may have committed sinful activities. If we take up devotional service, then we can get freed from these sinful activities. Those who chant the holy name of Krishna, those who serve devotees of Krishna, those who pay obeisances to Krishna, those who eat prasadam of Krishna, they don't have to see Yamraj. In fact, after the story of Ajamil, Yamraj gave standing instructions to Yamdutas. Don't go near Vaishnavas. Don't go near those people who chant Hare Krishna, who wear Kanti Mala, who wear Vaishnava Tilak, who read Bhagavad Gita, who serve devotees. Don't go near such people. They are not in our jurisdiction. Bring to me only those sinful people who never chanted once the holy name of Krishna. Bring to me those sinful people who eat meat, who engage in gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, who engage in dishonest means of income, who engage in violence to other living entities. Bring to me such people. So even once somebody chants the holy name of Krishna, at least one thing is sure, that he doesn't have to visit Yamraj. That is the power of the holy name. That is the power of practicing pure devotion. So we should maintain this bhakti. We should regularly chant our rounds, visit temple, attend program, read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, do our prescribed services so that we are elevated in our life. Human form of life is so that we achieve our ultimate goal, spiritual goal, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. And that is only possible by practicing bhakti. So one should be very cautious. One should chant Hare Krishna very nicely, follow four regulative principles very strictly, and in that way, progress is required. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Any questions we will take?
Thank you.